All right, it's our final hour, and I know you guys have heard us talking, and now that it's starting to be discussed even more nationally as well. The S2 cognition test, something that has been taking, you're hearing a lot about it with quarterbacks or NFL players. And joining us right now is a former athlete himself and one of the co-creators of S2 cognition, and that would be Brandon Alley, who I had the pleasure of speaking with for about 45 minutes the other day, and I thought this conversation needed to come to the forefront because we here in Houston are looking for quarterbacks. The Houston Texans are looking for quarterbacks, and we also are a big baseball city now, and I think Brandon specifically can speak to two different concepts that I think you're really going to love. Brandon, first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time. And, you know, the big discussion has been that people are starting to leak out is that S2, you guys have been doing this for 7 years, I guess, in the NFL. Why don't you tell people what the S2 cognition test is, what it looks like, how it was developed, and how it's important for NFL quarterbacks?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having me on. I think what's important to know about S2 is that, you know, I know there's a lot of discussion about, athlete smarts and athlete IQ and do you have to be smart to play and those kinds of questions. And that's not what the S2 measures. You know, that's something we want to clarify right up front. We don't measure how smart an athlete is, their IQ, how well they can sort of learn the playbook or learn the concepts. We're going to go ahead and assume that the scouting departments and everybody has done their homework on that to understand what they're getting into with the learning style or learning ability of the player. What we try to measure is those skills that they use on the field. So once the ball is snapped and you have to execute in less than a half a second, those are the types of quote-unquote decisions that these athletes are making. And you know, we use that term loosely, decisions, because it's not like, hey, where are we going to go have lunch? It's quite literally filtering through everything they see to decide what route they're going to run, where they're going to throw, who's their assignment, all of those split-second decisions. And the other thing I think is important to know is that, you know, these tasks that we use to characterize these athletes have been in the literature, have been in the scientific literature for decades. You know, Scott and I didn't invent these tasks. What we did is we know that these tasks are well-characterized and do a great job at quantifying an athlete's overall brain wiring or their system. And what we do is we try to help front office and coaches understand how that pattern of scores will manifest on the field of play. So, you know, we have our battery of tests. I think that people have been throwing out an overall number. The overall number is great, but it's relatively meaningless. You have to actually look at the pattern of scores, what they're good at, what they struggle at, to know how to specifically utilize a player. There are very specific patterns of results that would suggest a defensive back should be a man-on-man guy versus a coverage or zone guy. What kinds of reads you can overlay on your quarterback. You know, you mentioned baseball, those kinds of things. What is this player's, what's his chase rate going to look like? What's his strike zone discipline going to look like? Is he going to be able to visually process 100 miles an hour? Those types of questions. So you kind of get a better understanding of the way your player is wired and ultimately the way they're going to play on the field.
Brandon Alley joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If I remember correctly, it was Mike Kafka from Northwestern. I saw a story on him where they did this kind of read-reaction thing on the computer, and that he did that, and it helped him on the field. Do you find that guys can get better reading and reacting the more they take your test or the more that you work with them with this cognition test?
Yeah, great question. So our test measures the overall system, the global system. If you want to get better at that particular sort of cognitive skill, it's got to be done on the field, in the context. So can you improve a quarterback's ability to layer on that complex if-then statement? So if the DB covers the curl, I'm going to throw to the flat. If he covers the flat, I'm going to throw to the curl. That's a very simplistic articulation of the kinds of complex reads these quarterbacks have to do. But to be able to improve that, it's got to be done on the field in the game context, as close to game speed as possible. So you can improve these skills, but it's not going to be done by taking our evaluation 100 times or doing an iPad app or a vision board or something like that. It's really hard to what we call transfer onto the field. So you may be able to improve the global system at a very small level, like using cognitive training apps like the old Lumosity and things like that. You would just get better at that particular test, and it wouldn't really transfer to your performance on the field. What? If you want to get better on the field, you got to practice there.
Give people an example of, so, you know, everyone's talking about the top four quarterbacks, five if you want to go Hendon Hooker, and I'm not asking for specifics of any of these quarterbacks. However, what will go into it? When you're working with an NFL team, can you give us an idea of what some of what you're going to measure? What is the information that when they take the test that you can give to an NFL team about a certain player and what their score represents?
Yeah. So we, like I mentioned earlier, we measure 9 different cognitive processes, 3 in the visual domain, 3 in what we call the read-react domain, and 3 in what we call the execution domain, which is really motor control. So I would say picking one from each of those categories that would be critically important. We measure in the visual domain how a quarterback might be able to broaden his attention and see the whole field versus having a little bit of tunnel vision. So not only does that tell you something about your quarterback's ability to see the whole field, but you can also begin to understand how you might set up a playbook, right? Is it the end of the world if he can only see half of the field and not the full field? Probably not, but you have to know that going in, and you're going to have to design a playbook that suits that quarterback's needs. One in the read-react domain, we just talked about it a little bit earlier, decision complexity. This is your quarterback's ability to filter through those if-then rules. So if the safety pulls down and the corner goes man, here's the route my guy's going to run. Being able to filter through those quickly is really important. And again, that's not just knowing the rules. We probably know several quarterbacks that can regurgitate the rules, tell you exactly what's supposed to happen. But when they get on the field and the ball snapped, it shows some hesitation, or they'll throw to the wrong route. And one of the last ones that we do in the motor execution control is what we call impulse control, and that's your ability to be able to sort of inhibit that really impulsive desire to throw. You might do it on a partial read. It looks good right off the snap, and then you didn't see the DB come and jump in the route. So that ability to really just be patient, let things develop, and not be really impulsive. So those are 3 key skills that we really look at quarterbacks.
Can you give us examples of impulse control? Well, why don't you give John, why don't you tell our listeners from a baseball standpoint? So we famously had Craig Biggio, who's a Hall of Famer, just couldn't, for his career, couldn't lay off of a slider away. Just couldn't lay off of a slider away from a right-hander. And our conversation was really interesting about what percentage of that is seeing the ball, what percentage is impulse control. Can you talk about that relative to baseball? Because I think that's also an interesting conversation.
Yeah, sure. So the impulse control task is the number one predictor of chase rates in pro baseball. And initially, we all see the product of the decision, which is swinging at the slider in the dirt. But we don't know why that athlete is swinging at the slider in the dirt. And so in our evaluation of thousands of pro baseball players, it turns out it's about 50-50. 50% of those hitters actually can't visually process the details of the pitch to tell them it's a slider in the dirt. The other 50% can process that visual information just fine. They just can't inhibit that need to swing. It looks so good. They even know it's a slider. They're probably saying in their head, why am I swinging at this? And then you swing at the pitch out of the zone. Even though it predicts impulse control, again, I don't know there's nothing in the S2 evaluation that would signify a kiss of death, right? You're going to put up with a Biggio that can swing at pitches out of the zone. Think about Vladimir Guerrero. If they're going to put up 100 RBIs and 40 dingers, right? So it's all about tolerance. It's all about knowing that athlete. But yeah, that impulse control task is important in all sports. Whether it's jumping off sides, holding penalties, chase rates, things like that, it can be highly predictive of those types of mental mistakes on the field.
So is your test actual players and reacting, or is it cubes? Is it balls? Is it circles?
Everyone's probably thinking there's a virtual reality of a football game going on, and that's not what it
is. What it is. Exactly. What is it?
It's not. Yeah, that's a great question. So, again, these are tasks directly from the cognitive science literature that we know tap into a specific cognitive process. And again, this is where nothing in this world is going to be a one-to-one analog. You can't say, if you do this on the S2, this is what's going to happen on the field. We measure the global system. So we're just talking about impulse control system. We all have this level of impulsivity. Think about sitting at a green light or red light, and you're in the lane to your left is the turn lane, and that green light goes on for them to turn, and you immediately hit the gas. You're like, oh, God, my light is still red, and then you got to pump on the brakes. That's your impulse control system. And so we can test somebody's impulse control system by doing just a straight computer task that would be done in a laboratory. It is precise, though. It is within milliseconds of responses. So we can capture, so as an example on impulse control, the difference between an elite running back and just a starting running back is about 14/1000th of a second in the way that they respond to some of these tasks. And so we make assumptions about how it's going to impact your sports play based on that, the measurement of that global overall system.
What I think is important, though, is that you're a neuroscientist, and you can give your title yourself. I don't want to downplay, but you and your co-creator, you were both athletes. You both have an understanding of the athlete. Clearly, when you talk football, you have a good understanding of the terminology and what's going on. So you're not just a couple of neuroscientists who are trying to apply that to a sport that you don't know about. You guys come from the athletic world.
Yeah, so, yep, no, I am a dork, no doubt about it, but I did play college athletics at the Division I level, played sports all growing up. Scott Wiley, my co-founder, same thing, played baseball in college. But I also think what's important is that we don't try to be those guys. We don't try to be extremely knowledgeable. We are informed by those extremely knowledgeable players. So we didn't take all these tasks and say, hey, this is what happens in football. Now, the way that the football battery actually developed is we've been working with LSU football since about 2013. And those first couple of years, it was literally digging in with those guys to understand, hey, what does a defensive back have to do? What are the cognitive demands of defensive backs? So we sat there with Corey Raymond. We sat there with Dave Aranda. We sat there with Jack Marucci and Tommy Moffitt and those guys and really worked through it and really tested and retested and until we ultimately landed on the battery that it is today. Same thing in baseball. Our director of baseball operations, Paul Phillips, was a 15-year pro with 9 years in the major leagues as a catcher. We worked with him when he was the Marlins hittings coach and just really, really worked and dug down and deep. And then for each of those in pro sports, we not only did that, we went through a 3-year statistical vetting process with high-level analytics people in baseball, high-level analytics people in academics, and really just made sure, hey, are we measuring what we're saying we're measuring? Are we truly linking things to the field? And we're open. We are not dogmatic about, hey, everything we do works. We're constantly growing and evaluating and evolving based on what the data are telling us, based on what front offices and coaches are telling us. So it's a fun process to be in as an athlete. As an ex-athlete and a scientist, just digging in with people on both sides of that fence. We try to engage high-level academics who study these things for a living, and we try to engage in high-level coaches in front office who also do this for a living.
It is impossible that I'm the only one who listens to Brandon talk, and I feel like I'm having a conversation with Bobby Axelrod from Billions. I can't be the only one who thinks you sound like Damian Lewis, the actor Bobby Axelrod from Billions or for Homeland. I can't. It's like every time I hear, I'm like, Bobby's pitching me on something great.
Does.
Yeah. No, I think this is, and I know you've done, just to answer, we got to let you go, but you guys have looked and studied the effects of ADHD, ADD, when you're on medicine, when you're not on medicine, the effects of marijuana. You've done studies on that as well. The baseball chase rate thing is really interesting to me, but the quarterback processing, there's a great article. Actually, Washington Post has one. I know you're going to be doing a podcast on the football podcast on The Athletic with Robert Mays, which should be good. And then The Athletic wrote a great article about it last month in February. So this is going, you're going to hear a lot more about this because this has been, by the way, has anyone with the low score ever, I know the names that have been mentioned, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, those are three names that are, and Brock Purdy mentioned a lot as having really high scores. Have you ever seen a guy with a low score? You have had guys who have had high scores who are not good quarterbacks, obviously. But have you ever had somebody with a low score become a top-level quarterback in the time that you guys have been doing this?
I would say that is extremely difficult. It's just, you know, as you know, to be a professional athlete, you have to have every piece of the package. You've got to have the physical. You've got to have the technical and mechanical. You've got to have the tactical where you have this game experience. You've got to be psychologically sound, respond to failure well. You know, your anxiety, depression, all of those sorts of things really have to gel, as well as this cognitive piece has to be on board to be the best of the best. Can you have low physical skills? Can you have poor arm accuracy and low foot speed and still be a great elite quarterback? I don't know. I think that's up for debate. Same thing with the cognition. I will also say, I just want to be clear on this context, that we have seen on social media and a lot of articles written and things like this about the certain quarterback scores. I would say take those with a grain of salt. We see so-and-so reportedly scored low. This person scored the best quarterback score of this year's class. I would take those things with a grain of salt.
That is Brandon Alley right here on ESPN 97.5 at S2 Cognition at Brandon Alley, A-L-L-Y-3, at Brandon Alley 3. Brandon, great stuff. We really appreciate it. And yes, he
Thank
does sound
so
like.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it being on, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
He
Thanks,
does
Brandon.
Sound like Homeland. Homeland.
Yeah, Bobby Axelrod. Yeah. Damian Lewis.
Yep.
He sounds a lot. I couldn't get over. I'm like, this is so cool that I'm talking to Bobby Axelrod about sports. And so I just did my entire phone conversation the other day on Saturday, just like I was talking to Bobby Axelrod. On the other end, when I'm picturing the guy I'm talking to, red hair. Is Bobby? I'm talking to Bobby Axelrod from Billions. You got to watch that, John. Yep. At some point, you'll run out of steam for it, like I did. But the first 2 years are definitely, first two seasons, maybe three, are definitely worth watching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll like it.
You know who else I like is the Morley Law Firm. They've helped me and they'll help you. So make the call, Morley Law. They have. And listen, I'm having an issue with an insurance company right now that I might have to call the Morley Law Firm, and I might have to make a call to that insurance company and take care of this business, because the insurance companies are out there just working you as hard as they possibly can and not giving you what you deserve in a lot of instances. And if you have an issue with an insurance company and they're not coming through, well, maybe you've called the Morley Law Firm. If you're having an issue with a doctor, you had some kind of any kind of an issue where the doctor didn't perform the way you thought, call the Morley Law Firm. Did you get into an accident and they're not paying up? Did someone wrong you in some way? Did someone short you on something they should have given? Did you have a contract that they broke? Well, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. The Morley Law Firm is here for any issue that you might have civilly or criminally right now. And if you're looking for that lawyer that is going to hear you out, give you a free consultation, and in a lot of instances, you don't pay them unless you collect, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. They have so much experience and so many things that they're going to be able to handle whatever issue it is that you have. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955 or MorleyLaw.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.